I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is Business Wise. My guest today is Kent Wellington. Kent is the chair of the litigation department at Graydon, Head & Ritchie, a law firm downtown in Cincinnati. He's also the chair of the Cincinnati Youth Collaborative, which is an organization that promotes mentoring and tutoring for at-risk youth. And Kent, you've been involved with the CYC for many years. I know personally you've had your own mentees. Let's talk about the difference in a child's life, what it matters when you have an adult who becomes a mentor to one of these kids.
Well, I think most people understand viscerally that that makes a big difference. I mean, just as people understand the importance of parenting. If you look statistically, 95-97% of the kids in the Cincinnati Public Schools who are mentored through CYC graduate from high school, which is about a 30% higher level than those who are not.
And not only is it just a wonderful thing to do to really help change one child's life, oftentimes it's generational. Because when you have the child who goes on and graduates and becomes a productive citizen in our community, then their kids see that and their kids see that. It's a generational changing difference.
There is. There's a real positive ripple effect when you mentor a young person. And what we also see in our best mentoring relationships is you're also mentoring the parent as well. And that's extremely important. The sad thing, though, is that we have a long list of kids who want to be mentored. We just don't have the volunteers stepping up to do it.
And it doesn't take a lot of time, does it? You don't have to have a lot of time to be a mentor.
Yeah, the misconception is it's real time consuming. It's not time consuming. It needs to be sustained. It needs to be ongoing. But in this IT age, where even the poorest of kids have cell phones, many of your kids are just a quick text away from
or
a
FaceTime.
Reminder. That's right. You name
I've learned to do that, Kent, with a daughter in college. Because it's just an amazing difference. And I know you're passionate about this. Your organization, you've impacted so many different people in bringing so many individuals and businesses into the CYC in terms of their assistance with this. What would you say to someone out there listening who really has never gotten engaged, doesn't know if it's something that they have time to do or would be really make an impact?
We usually say don't overthink it. Get involved. Also, if you have a family, it's a wonderful area to get families in. I think I haven't done a whole lot correct as a parent, but the best parenting move my wife and I ever made was starting when our oldest was in kindergarten with two kids who are still very much a part of the family 12 years later. And that's been a huge difference for our mentees, but even more so for my two kids.
Your two kids, I might add, I've actually had your son on this radio program who's also just finished his freshman year. What an amazing young man. And he also really is a believer in mentoring, isn't he?
He's there with his UC buddies every Saturday down at Saturday Hoops, which is a group mentoring program. And there's really no reason why we shouldn't be getting more of the college kids involved.
Right. I agree with you. Kent, if folks listening today would like more information on mentoring, tutoring, just to check it out, how can they reach the CYC?
You can go to the Cincinnati Youth Collaborative website. Just put that in your browser and you'll get there. Or contact the CYC at 513-475-4181.
Thanks so much for everything you do. And thank you for listening to Business Wise. I'm Crystal Faulkner with Cooney Faulkner and Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is Business Wise. My guest today is Dwayne Harmon. Dwayne is the founder of a nonprofit organization called Triple Threat. And Dwayne, maybe you can explain to the listeners what Triple Threat is. I had to ask you myself off the air because sounded like a kind of a scary term.
Well, it's a basketball term. And in basketball, you have three threats. And we don't use it negatively. We use it positively.
Yes.
And the idea of it is we're taking sports to draw inner city kids to a holistic program. And growing up in the neighborhood where I grew up was sports is what kept us from going the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So we use sports, Cincinnati Triple Threat, to draw the kids in, and then we introduce them to this holistic program that we try to provide for the kids.
And you have had this organization, Dwayne, for many years, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, 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 ma'am.
You work with the schools. You've been working with kids for
yes,
a long
ma'am.
Time.
Well, let me tell you, 1976, I graduated from Taft High School. In 1980, they took a chance on me to employ me for 20 years. And then I left and worked with the Friars Club for years. And how this organization was developed with the Friars Club is Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief Kid, who plays for them. And I would come home every day, and my mom and my friends finally said, well, listen, why don't you start one of them programs downtown? Because the kids downtown cannot afford to go. So for the last, today, and I'm going to share this with you today, 11 years ago, my mom passed, and this was one of her passions and dreams that I get back out in the streets and work with the kids.
That's wonderful. And how many children participate in your program, Dwayne?
Well, in Triple Threat, all year round, probably thousands.
Wow.
But in the Saturday Hoops program, we average about 200-some kids from January to mid-May. And then after that, we do other programs. We run 8 weeks at Taft High School with flag football. Then we have the blessing of being collaborated with a place called Pleasant Vineyard Ministry, where we take over 100 kids to camp. They cost about $500, where they scuba dive, paintball, horseback riding.
Can I go, Dwayne?
Yes, you can. and that family only have to pay $25 for registration
fee. Oh, that's wonderful.
And then after that, we come back and we run a 8-week program in a park called Way Street Park on Liberty and Lynn, where the police department help funds, where we run outdoor hoops every day.
That's great.
Until the summer's over.
So do you need volunteers to help you with these programs?
Yes, we can use volunteers all the time. You know, it gives me chills when I look to my left and see Kent and think of all the people that God has sent to Cincinnati Triple Threat to help develop these kids' lives.
And you're talking about Kent Wellington, who's the chair of the CYC.
Yes,
who's
yes,
actually very involved with you with the Dribblethon that happens in May.
Yes, yes. The collaboration that he's created for this group is actually saving lives for these kids over the line.
Well, your leadership has also saved lives, Dwayne. So I really want to personally thank you for that and thank you for everything. And if folks listening would like to volunteer, would like to get involved, help these kids, how can they reach you?
Well, you can contact me at 513-557-9452, or you can email me, and I'm getting better at that, Ken will tell you, at d55harmon@gmail.com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Crystal, it's that time of year when people start looking to have summer jobs, or kids' parents start looking for the kids to have summer jobs. And one of the best places is at the parents' place of employment if the parents own their own business.
Yes, I love this because a parent can actually put their child to work, teach them the relationship between work and money, and pay them, take a tax deduction, reduce the parents' taxable income, and in many cases, the child won't even have to pay any federal income tax.
And in some cases, the child doesn't even have to pay Social Security tax, depending on the type of business it is.
And with the costs of college going nowhere but up, this is a great way to help get a deduction for your child, who can use some of the funds that you pay them for college.
And if they don't need to use them for college, because you've already saved wisely and often for college, you could consider having them put the funds into something like a Roth IRA, which will allow them to have a retirement fund many years from now, which they will be forever grateful to you for.
Someday they'll be forever grateful. You know, it's funny with our own kids. It was one of those situations where I can remember talking to them and they can't even imagine or fathom what retirement is, right? But what they do understand is how to be a millionaire. So if we showed them, Tom, if we put money in consistently, then over a very short period of time, the amount of money that they would have to have accumulated and never touch it again, even just for 6 years or so, putting a couple of $1,000s in of their earnings for 6 years would grow to almost $1 million at an average rate of return of around 8% by the time they retire. So they love the idea of someday being a millionaire based on money that they earned when they were in high school and college.
Yes, particularly before they actually had to put the money away, right?
Yes. But you know, I don't think it's a good idea to force your child to work and make all of the money go into savings. I think you have to show a child that you can use different buckets to put money. And I think savings clearly is probably the most important lesson. But also, you got to have them a little bit of fun. And certainly, I also believe in philanthropy. Show your child that a portion of what they earn, they can use to really help someone else.
That's right. And they can also have some intermediate term goals. It doesn't have to be a retirement goal. It can be a 1 month later goal, or 2 months later at the end of the summer, a trip or a gift or an electronic gadget.
Because, you know, I think we live in a world where children want instant gratification, and often many parents do the same thing. So teaching a child that you actually have to save for something in order to buy it, sometimes the child will change their mind completely and want something even different. So use the summer as a great way to bond with your child, talk about money, teach them about money, and hopefully create a brighter future For Business Wise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Tom, tax day is now almost a month ago. And just looking back, it's interesting to me to think about how people could have possibly done their own tax return. It's so complicated these days.
Well, I think that's true. And in fact, even if you use a professional, some people are wondering if they had the right professional.
Yes, you know, a tax professional should not be someone who just takes your numbers off of a page and enters them to computer software. Really, it should be someone who solves problems, gives you ideas, gives you advice, helps you understand how you can reduce your taxes and be more profitable if you have a business.
Right. A tax professional should not be someone that you see once a year in order to do your tax return. It should be someone you have some amount of regular communication with, depending on the complexity of your situation, so that they can give you advice ahead of time so that you can save taxes or do things at least in a tax-efficient manner.
You know, most people don't like surprises either, and we've had a couple of new clients who unfortunately were surprised, but not in a good way, when they got a big tax bill on April the 14th. That's just not good planning.
No, even if there was nothing they could do and that was the right amount of tax, at least if they'd known about it several months ahead, they could have planned for the cash flow aspect of it.
And I know that taxes are probably the last thing on most people's mind this time of year, but this is the perfect time to really assess your tax situation from 2013. Think about how the process flowed and what changes you might need to make in terms of your advisors going forward so you don't have an unexpected, unpleasant surprise next year.
Well, if you think about it, taxes are the greatest expense that most people have. So if you can minimize that, you've made great strides.
That's right. I think people don't like to assume that, but it's true. Besides payroll, especially for a business, taxes are probably the number one expense. So if you can keep more of what you earn so that you can reinvest it in your business, if it's a family, you can keep more of it for retirement, for your child's education. Why pay Uncle Sam more than you have to? For Business Wise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is Business Wise. My guest today is Kevin Airy. Kevin is the president of Franklin Financial Group. And Kevin, I remember the day, which doesn't seem so long ago, when everyone was advertising these no money down loans. And are any of those still available today?
Not in the sense of the ones that we all remember and are probably looking to forget. But there are actually a couple that do exist still today. One is only available to veterans of the military. A VA loan still allows you to buy a home with no money down. And then there are some USDA loans through the Department of Agriculture trying to spur some growth into some rural areas. And they also allow for no money down loans as well, pending qualification.
Are you seeing when you deal with these other lenders, Kevin, have they forgotten some of the turmoil? I mean, it seems to me I've been doing this business for a long time, and it just seems like things go in phases, right? Bad times are forgotten, and then the good times come, and then boom, there we go, right back again to the bad times. Do you ever see it going back to the really high-flying times, the heyday? I mean, with all the new regs in place and so forth?
To some factors, maybe when banks and lenders feel that property values are appreciating at a relatively quick rate, we may see some of those no money down loans that are available besides to veterans and besides for these rural areas. But as far as getting back to where some things just were almost unsensible lending standards, I don't know that anyone will forget those and the damage it caused. I mean, it created one of the worst economic situations or directly related to it that we've all seen. At least in my lifetime.
Well, certainly besides those two programs you mentioned, I mean, in my mind, I'm a CPA, right? So it's not a bad thing to have some skin in the game. There's not a bad thing for the homeowner to have put some money down. It's just too easy to walk away from a debt if you've got no skin in the game.
I agree, and I know that both lenders, agencies, and the government who bailed them out believe that strongly as well. If no one has anything of theirs invested, then those reasons to remain often go away.
Kevin, if someone would like to learn more about what's going on in the mortgage loan industry, what is your contact information?
They can find me on the web at www.goffg.com or at 513-231-4927.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guest today is Chuck Stevens. Chuck is my partner at Cooney Faulkner & Stevens. He's a CPA, but he's also a certified valuation analyst, and he is also accredited in business valuations. Chuck, you do a lot of business valuations, and I know that one common theme amongst business valuations is for people who make gifts. We work with a lot of closely held and privately held family businesses. Oftentimes, these folks from generation to generation pass the business down to their children. There's some real benefits in giving units of stock or LLC units as it relates to gifting. Maybe you can explain.
Sure. Oftentimes, when you do have a family situation that has a controlling interest, when they're making these gifts to their children, they're not doing it all at once. They're doing it according to a long-term plan, and they're doing it in smaller bits and pieces. And so when you take these smaller interests, or we call them minority interests in a business, which is something, you know, less than 50%, a minority owner has less ability to change the direction of the business, to control the business, to set compensation, to make decisions. They have less powers than a control owner would have. In addition, if you're a minority owner, you can't go out and sell your interest. Oftentimes, there are severe restrictions within an operating agreement or close corporation agreement that don't allow you to go out and sell those units. So as a result, there's a depressed value associated with that minority interest. We call them minority interest discounts and lack of marketability discount, in that you're not able to easily sell that interest. And so when you look at that, if the business is worth $1 million and you have a 10% interest, that 10% interest isn't always worth $100,000. It could be worth significantly less than that. And so from a tax perspective, what it allows the owner to do is to more tax efficiently transfer those interests and use less of their estate tax exemption.
It's a wonderful tool to shift wealth. It's absolutely wonderful. And for people who are in that position to be able to move, in your example, $100,000 of real value for, say, $60,000, I mean, that's a huge tax savings for the family.
It is. It's an overall tax savings for the family. It allows these new owners to kind of come in and get their feet wet. And, you know, there's all kinds of advantages to it.
So if folks listening today would like more information about this gift planning technique and as it relates to valuations, how can they reach you?
My email address is cstevens@cfscpa.com, and that's cstevens@cfscpa.com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guest today is Chuck Stevens. Chuck is my partner here at Cooney Faulkner & Stevens, and Chuck is not only a CFA and a whole lot more, but he's also a certified valuation analyst, and he is accredited in business valuations. And I know, Chuck, you do primarily most of the valuations here in our firm. One of the reasons why people get valuations, or should get valuations, is as they look at a future exit or a future succession plan as it relates to their involvement in the company. How are they going to take this business that they've created and they've put all their blood, sweat, and tears in and actually monetize that someday in the future, so they may do something different completely or may not be involved in the business quite as much? It's important to understand what the value is worth today, isn't it, so that you can ultimately generate the kind of value needed in the future?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why you should get a valuation today. But like you said, you need to know if the value in the business is going to be enough for you to retire on. Oftentimes, when you have a business like that, it's not just your blood, sweat, and tears in that business, but it's your primary wealth. And so how are you going to extract, you know, hopefully you can extract that wealth someday. And so the time to start is now. If you're looking at retiring down the road, there are still things you can do to make that business more valuable. What you don't want to happen is not have a plan and something happened to you, God forbid, and all of a sudden you have a business that once was worth a considerable amount of money that's maybe worth zero now.
Absolutely. You know, we are very involved in business exit planning, which is something that I think a lot of family-held, privately-held businesses need. you also use valuations as it relates to your employees. So if part of your strategy is to incentivize your employees so that they can ultimately take over some part of your business, maybe as an option, you may want to think about transferring some component of your business someday to employees, knowing what the value is today and then allowing them to help build that value up in the future and be compensated for that is another reason to have a valuation.
Right. You and I work all the time with clients who are looking at creative ways to incentivize their employees to act like owners. And sometimes that takes the form of giving them actual ownership in the company. And other times it takes the form of something like a phantom stock plan where they benefit from the increase in value of that stock without having actual ownership. And then also, you know, if part of the succession plan is to bring other leaders or parts of the management team into the ownership, so that you can then kind of slow down, you know, in your workload and ultimately exit the business, you need to know a value to start that process to sell to them.
So valuations, at least from our advice, is pretty much something we think most businesses should do.
Anyone can benefit from a valuation, whether it's just understanding what that portion of their wealth is, the dollar amount on that, or if it's going to be enough to retire, or if it's just from a standpoint of trying to figure out, hey, what is my long-term plan with this business?
It's a good conversation starter.
Yes.
Chuck, if folks listening would like to reach you, what is your contact?
My email address is cstevens@cfscpa.com, and that's cstevens@cfscpa.com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney Faulkner and Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. One of the questions that we get frequently in our role at Cincinnati.com with the Cincinnati Inquirer in our weekly column are questions concerning the feasibility of investing in real estate, really more from a tax standpoint than from an investment standpoint. I think this may be a sign that the real estate market has recovered from the Great Recession, and people are interested in real estate again as an investment, or at least they're considering it. It is a common misconception that there are tremendous tax benefits to investing in real estate. And when I talk about investing in real estate, I'm talking about rental property, not your primary residence. There are expenses that you can deduct if you have real estate rental property, namely interest, taxes, maintenance, and most importantly, depreciation, which is a non-cash expense, which you can deduct. But you can deduct all those things against the income, and then depending upon the amount of your own income, you may be limited in your deductions. So there may not be as many net deductions for a real estate investment as you've been led to believe, particularly if you're a higher income individual. There are, however, a lot of good tax consequences to real estate. For example, when you sell real estate, if you've held it long enough, you will typically have the gain taxed at capital gains rates, so it's a much lower tax rate than your ordinary income rate. You even have the choice, if you plan things properly, to avoid paying tax altogether on the sale of a real estate by entering into a transaction called a like-kind exchange. And again, this is one of those things that lots of people know a little bit about, but make sure you talk to an expert if you're about to do a like-kind exchange so that you've structured it properly and you've jumped through all the hoops to satisfy the IRS. Again, real estate can be a good investment. It certainly can be good for your taxes, but make sure you plan it properly. And if you're not familiar with all the rules, be sure you do talk to an expert so that you can take advantage of all the benefits that you're allowed to do under the tax law. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Well, Tom, it does appear that in many cases, real estate values have gone back up to pretty much where they were right before the Great Recession. And I think what that means is for many investors of real estate, they may be looking at some gains upon a sale.
Well, and not only are they looking at gains, but they're probably looking at higher tax rates than they were before the recession, because there's been an increase in tax rates for higher income people. And then there's this added tax on net investment income if you have a high enough level of income. So it makes even more sense than it used to
to consider deferring the gain when you sell investment real estate by doing a like kind exchange.
Yes, it's also known as a 1031 exchange, and that's because that's the Internal Revenue Code that references that provision. But like kind exchanges can be an amazing way to continue to own property and use the taxes that you would otherwise have to pay upon a sale as additional investment to get new property. There's some very specific rules, though, that you have to comply with for it to qualify.
Well, and this is one of those cases in the tax law where you have to conform to all of those rules. You have to put your documents in order. You have to identify that you're doing a like-kind exchange in your contracts when you sell the property, and you got to keep your hands off the money until you reinvest it. And you need to make sure that you utilize some type of professional advisor that's experienced with like-kind exchanges so that you can be assured that you'll get the tax deferral you're looking for.
Yes, this is one of those situations where you can't go back and fix it. If you fail to comply with all of the provisions, your like-kind exchange will not work and you're going to pay tax on the entire gain. So you don't want to make a mistake, but if you can qualify, this is a wonderful opportunity.
Well, it is, and if you do make a mistake, not only do you have to pay the tax, but you'll have your money invested in replacement property, so you may not have the cash to pay the tax.
And Tom, you mentioned you can't put your hands on the cash, and that is probably the most critical thing, because once you taint the money, then you can't put it back. So let's just say, for example, you do go to the trouble of setting up with an escrow agent, someone to receive the proceeds from your sale, and then you decide you want to just use some of the money and then put it back. You can't do that. Once you touch the money, it's tainted. You can't go forward. And there, some of the specific rules are you have to identify replacement property within 45 days. You can have up to three choices to do that.
And you have 180 days to complete the transaction, otherwise to close on the replacement property.
And typically, you sell your property first, and then you find replacement property. That's not always the case, though, in real life. Things happen. So there is a provision, although it's a little more complicated, called a reverse like-kind exchange, whereas you may be able to acquire replacement property first, then sell your property. Bottom line is just make sure you reach out to a professional, know what you're doing. It can save you a lot of money in taxes. For Business Wise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is Business Wise. My guest today is Kevin Airy. Kevin is the president of Franklin Financial Group. Kevin, if someone in the market today is looking for a home, and this is always an issue, I guess I wonder a lot, is the day of the realtor gone by the wayside with all the internet and people being able to do everything themselves, or is it still a really good idea to get a realtor?
I think it's a great idea to get a realtor, a necessity, in fact. You know, the internet allowed information to flow more freely to people, or people to find information on, say, homes for sale. That used to be something that realtors were delivered in a paper format and had to deliver to their clients. But in today's world, if they can find the house, I think they need the advocate of a realtor representing them to help them go through the purchase process of finding a home, and also obviously to sell a home. The realtors are looking out for them as sellers or buyers and their needs. And so I definitely think that realtors should, without any question, be involved in that process.
I agree with you. And they also give people a perspective about how much home that they can afford, what kind of money are they talking about. I just think that a realtor can be such an advisor. How do you work with realtors?
Really, I work with realtors in a sort of a relationship and networking fashion. I've just developed those relationships with realtors over time and have gotten to learn the things that they go through, the troubles, the difficulties, all the strengths that they have for their clients, and just really try and as much as possible make it a symbiotic relationship, because I want to help them out.
Well, and your company, Franklin Financial Group, is not a bank, but how do you distinguish yourself from a typical bank?
As a mortgage brokerage, I am able to shop a loan amongst various lenders. If a borrower goes to a local bank directly, they are sometimes limited to what that bank specifically only offers. And that bank may have standards that are set to where maybe a borrower doesn't qualify. where with me, I can shop around to find a variety of lenders and programs and pricing and try and get the best product for a person at the lowest cost and rate.
And Kevin, I know your business has been around for a long time, but how have you been able to remain so thriving as a business when so many other mortgage originators have exited?
I learned long ago that this is really not about me, but it was about the borrower and my relationship with them, hopefully for a long period of time. And when I focused my efforts on delivering the best product and service to my customers, and they felt it, they tended to refer me to others, and we have built a great relationship.
Because some of the mortgage brokers, just saying, were part of the problem back in the heyday.
Sure. They were one of the entities that were to blame, yes. There's a lot of blame to go around, but I can't say that they weren't one of them.
So if people would like to learn more about Franklin Financial Group, what's your contact information?
They can find me on the web at www.goffg.com or at 513-231-4927.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney Faulkner and Stevens, your business advocate.